Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at How Stuff Works. And with me is wonderful writer Jonathan Strickland.
Howdy.
Today, we're going to be talking about some of those energy suckers in your house, better known as your electronics.
Right. Some of you may not know this. There was an article in Forbes that said the average American household spends $1,400 each year on energy bills. That's a pretty hefty chunk of change.
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, if you think about it, a good-sized plasma TV can use up to 350 watts. Xbox 360, 187, PlayStation 3, 197 watts. I mean, you know, that's not an insubstantial amount of electricity there.
Yeah, actually, there was a recent story published by Choice, which is a consumer group in Australia, that specifically looked at game consoles and computers. And they found that even if you are running a PS3 on idle, so the machine is on, but you're not doing anything, it runs on about 31.74 kilowatt hours per week, which they figured out was five times more than your medium-sized refrigerator.
Good grief.
So, and if you're playing a game, well, watch out, because it consumes even more power. The Wii, by the way, was the least taxing on your energy. It ran on 3.14 kilowatt hours, even if you're playing a game. So one-tenth of what the PlayStation 3 runs on.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these machines, too. I mean, the Wii, I own a Wii. And if you leave it internet enabled so that it can pull down messages from your friends, it's on even when it's not on, you know, where you actually see something on the screen. So
Right. It's,
you know, you may forget about these things, but they're always draining some kind of electricity.
Actually, a lot of electronics do that. There's even a term for it. There are several, in fact, but the most popular one's probably vampire power. A vampire electronic device is one that is going to draw power even if the device itself has been powered off. So even televisions do this. That's mostly because TVs need a little time to warm up when you turn them on. And by draining this a little bit amount of power, it decreases the amount of time it takes for a television to completely power up. So there's reasoning behind it, but it means that even if you've turned off everything in your house, things are still drawing power.
That's true. And, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can combat this. You can always unplug your devices. You
right.
can turn off a power strip if your TV and video game consoles are plugged into a power strip. But some manufacturers are looking into ways to cut down the amount of electricity that they use, even when they're on. For example, when Jonathan and I went to the Consumer Electronics Show earlier this year, we saw a television called the Eco TV offered by Philips, and it's an LCD TV. They use a lot of light to power the screen, but what the Eco TV does, it measures the amount of ambient light in the room. So it can adjust how much light it puts out to power the image on the screen based on the amount of light that's coming in the room. So it can kind of, you know,
adjust things.
Yeah,
adjust, like if you watch television in a dark room, you don't need as much power to make the image visible. So watching those movies in a nice little dark home theater system is energy efficient, in fact. So hey, I'm energy efficient, because that's the way I prefer to watch my movies and television. And in the United States, there's even a thing called Energy Star. Now, Energy Star, that's sort of a designation about if something has the Energy Star label on it, that means that it meets certain standards, which are constantly being revised. And by revised, they're usually getting better rather than worse, which is a relief in the United States, really.
True. True. Yeah, as a matter of fact, there are a number of different kinds of ratings that you can get in addition to Energy Star. Mm-hmm. The manufacturers coalitions have put together some different ones too. But basically, if you can see the Energy Star rating on the side of a box, you know that it is meeting minimum Environmental Protection Agency standards for energy usage.
Right. And as our article points out, in 2007, the Americans using Energy Star products prevented 40 million metric tons of greenhouse gases from entering the atmosphere. And that's significant.
Yeah, that is fairly significant. One of the kinds of machines that use an awful lot of electricity, and a lot of machines aren't Energy Star certified, are computers.
Right. Computer monitors as well.
Yes, monitors. Depending on the monitor, a lot of the CRTs, the old style big tube monitors, those use up a lot more electricity in general than your flat panels. But we looked at several of the different machines out there. And there are some that are starting to come down. Like, there's a new computer offered by Cranberry that only uses 9 watts of electricity. And a story that has been in the news in CNET lately, about the Cherry Pal, which is a kind of cloud computer, very similar to the Cranberry. And it only uses 2 watts of electricity.
Right. It really cuts down on the moving parts. You know, things like, they get rid of things like the fan, and hard drives, the spinning hard drives. And that really helps cut down on power consumption. And of course, there are other things that we can talk about when we're talking about energy efficiency. We can talk about handheld devices and alternative means of powering them, like solar panels, for example. You could have a solar-powered energy source to charge your iPod, for example.
True, and there's another example that we used, the Nokia Eco Sensor, which is a sort of a prototype, I guess. And it uses a combination solar panel that you can wear on your wrist, but it's combined with a kinetic energy generator. So if you're, you know, waving your arms wildly like I am right now, you can charge up your PDA as you are gesticulating wildly and making your friends wonder if you're insane. You go, no, I'm just charging my PDA.
Right. In a related story, I read a great piece in The Independent. That's a newspaper in the United Kingdom. Written by Adrienne So, about she proposed a certain kind of energy generating piece of clothing. We're talking about a they call it the bionic bra. It's a bra that would harness the power of moving breasts to generate electricity. which is brilliant. Although, as NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me pointed out, that might mean that guys start referring to women by how long a song they'd be able to play.
So if it powers down completely, do you get memory loss?
Ha! Ha ha ha. But to be serious, she was asking actual engineers about the feasibility of this, and some of them surprisingly said it's completely feasible. There was an engineer named Wong at Georgia Tech, which is just down the road from us, who his team's working on creating fabric made out of nanowires that can transform friction into electricity. So the more you move around, the more electricity you would generate. And he was thinking of using it in things like T-shirts and stuff like that. You know, things that you would wear that you would, you know, just have a lot of movement in general. And he said bras are a legitimate use for this technology. So we may actually see a bra generating electricity soon. Or not see it. I mean, it would probably be under clothes, so we probably wouldn't actually. Anyway, you know what I mean.
I feel like I've stumbled into some kind of booby trap.
Yes, I would say so.
Really, it looks like it, rather than, you know, just looking at ways to cut down on the amount of electricity they use, manufacturers are also looking into alternative ways to power that. So maybe through the combination of these things, we can reduce the load of electricity that we're using generating electricity from fossil fuels.
Right. The United States generates more than 50% of its electricity from coal. So that would be a big improvement to find alternative ways of generating electricity.
So now you'll shift from that to watching people, you know, flip and flop their way down the sidewalk as they go to work and try to listen to their iPods.
I don't see this conversation getting any better. We might want to end this now.
So if you're interested in reading more about that, we have a brand new article called How Energy Efficient Electronics Work. It's available today on HowStuffWorks.com. Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.